Good morning. Be seated, please. I'm sorry. Don't weigh down my account. This morning I'm going to be teaching legalism versus grace. I was talking with John, and I've done that booklet that I think a lot of you have, and some of you out in the tape land have as well. I have the booklet that I did called God Promises a More Abundant Life, and I've done a few articles in there, and I thought it'd be nice to get some of that stuff on tape. Anyway, I was sitting in the Holiday Express Inn last night and looking through a few scriptures last night, and let's turn to John chapter 13. And here Jesus Christ, it's the last week of his life. He's got very little time left. And, you know, here I am in the middle of my life, so I'm nowhere near the end of my life. But if I knew the end of my life was coming near, and I only had very few things left to teach, I would probably teach something that was very important, because I knew that I only had a limited time to impart something. I wouldn't waste my time teaching, you know, something silly or flippant. I'd teach something important. So here Jesus Christ in John chapter 13. Let's start in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, that would be good, huh? Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Let's skip a couple verses here. Let's go in verse 4. And he riseth from supper and lay aside his garments and took a towel and girdeth himself. So he basically dressed himself like a servant here. And he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel. This is basically, in the East, they would have a servant that this was his job. You know, they would have a servants that would do different things. Maybe somebody would serve the food, somebody would take care of this, and they would have a servant that would wash their people's feet. Now, in our culture, it doesn't seem too logical, because we wear shoes like this. Whoops. Got to hold on to the podium here. We've got shoes, you know, like this. We lace up, and then we got socks on. And when we walk around outside, we go outside, first thing you get out there is there's concrete, then there's asphalt, and then we get into our car, our feet don't get too dirty, you know, unless we go outside barefoot or something. But in their culture, they didn't have concrete and asphalt, and they didn't have these lace-up shoes. They wore sandals. So everywhere they walked, their feet would always get dirty. So when you went to somebody's home, etiquette was that you would have something available for their feet to be washed. And it wasn't the master of the house that would do the washing of the feet. It was a servant. And here Jesus Christ is trying to teach them that the greatest leadership you can do is to serve somebody. You know, that's a true leader of God's people. And good old Peter gets involved here, verse 6. And he came to Simon Peter, and Simon said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Wait a minute, you're the Son of God. You shouldn't be washing my feet. I should be washing yours. This is what Peter's thinking. And Jesus answered and said, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said, No, you're never going to wash my feet. And then Jesus Christ said, Well, if I don't wash your feet, then I don't have anything to do with you. And so Jesus said, Well, you're not going to wash my feet, wash my head, wash my hair, and we'll get out the shampoo and the deodorant and all this. You know, Peter, he just went to complete 180 on the whole thing. But what Jesus Christ was trying to teach here is that the true leader is supposed to serve God's people. And let's flip over to Luke 22. Here's another record at the last part of Jesus Christ's life. In Luke 22, and I'm not going to read all these verses. I'll just kind of give you an overview of this stuff. Basically, he just did the first communion. He was teaching them about communion and the broken bread and the shed blood and all that stuff. And he's teaching how he's going to be betrayed and all this stuff. And long about verse 24, and there was strife among them, the apostles, which of them should be accounted the greatest. You know, here it is. Jesus Christ is teaching them great truths about communion, and the other one he's teaching about service and so forth. And they're worried about, well, gee, you know, maybe John's greater than I am, or you know, Wayne's a whole lot better teacher than I am. But you know, maybe I'm better at doing this, and They're trying to figure out who's the best apostle and who's the best leader. Trying to figure out who's going to be like the great leader and everybody else is going to have to slam them or something, you know. And that's not what Christianity is all about. See, they didn't have it. It hadn't sunk in yet about that the leader is the servant. You know, whoever is going to be the greatest is going to be the greatest servant. And see, what I'm teaching on this morning is legalism. Quite often what happens in legalism, the people end up serving the leader. And in true Christianity, the people serve the leader and the leader serves the people. It's bi-directional. There's a word called reciprocity, which describes that. It's a big, long word, but basically means that people give to each other. You know, there's a lot of free giving back and forth. You know, it's like if somebody needs a pair of shoes and I got an extra pair of shoes, I say, here, you can have it, you know. And if somebody else needs this, you know, and the body, that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to work, people giving to each other. But when legalism comes in, you get all these rules and you start elevating people. People start salaming them and people start serving people, you know, and then the people that should be served aren't served and things get all messed up. So I was just looking at some of that stuff last night and it was just gelling on my heart a little bit. So what I want to give you now is a little, well, it's not a little, sort of a long definition of legalism. Legalism in this day and time can come in many forms. Some people still try to do the Old Testament law. Some people invent new rules and require people to follow them. Others mix the Old Testament law with new rules and mix in New Testament doctrine. This can get very confusing because they can quote or misquote scriptures to back up their legalism. Legalism can be very mean, even vicious. Legalists require that people obey their doctrine or tradition or they will be anathematized, there's a good long word for you, excommunicated, or kicked out, or maybe even heard marked and avoided, or whatever, you know. Legalists seldom miss a chance to reprove others, but they usually walk by opportunities to be compassionate to others. Legalists think that they are better than others who don't do the works of their law. Legalists use God's word to hurt people, hurt other people. Legalism puts fear in people. Either you obey their law or you suffer the consequences. Legalism is heavy and dark. It takes the joy out of the Christian life. Legalism is a doctrine, is the doctrine and traditions of men taught as if they were the Word of God. Legalism is the strict adherence to a law without regard to the well-being and best interests of the people involved. Legalism tries to get the flesh to bring forth spiritual fruit by imposing rules and regulations. See, it's our flesh is imperfect, no matter, you know, if you look at my life, you'll find flaws. But if you look at the Spirit of God in me, that's perfect. And the Spirit of God in each and every one of you is perfect as well. And here's a great quote. In fact, I even have this. If you go to my website, you can download this quote as a WAV file. It says, a believer's peace is lost. Oh, by the way, this is a quote from Dr. Victor Paul Werwell from Living Victoriously. A believer's peace is lost when he allows sincere, religious people to put him under the covenant of works of the Old Testament. And when a believer loses sight of his true standing in Christ and loses sight of grace, mercy, love, and the power of God, then he gets into confusion and his peace evaporates and it is gone. See, legalism destroys your peace because if you're always afraid that you're not going to measure up or you're not going to be good enough, then you're not peaceful inside. You're always worried about, well, gee, you know, maybe they're judging me. Maybe I didn't do that good enough. But see, God gave us grace, so we don't have to worry about that. Let's go to Galatians. The book of Galatians is a great epistle differentiating legalism and grace. Galatians chapter 3. I almost told you to turn to legalism chapter 3. There is no such thing. I got a new book of the Bible, legalism. There's some churches that might have that added in there. I don't know. I wouldn't want to go to one of them. You know, I was thinking about those records in John and Luke, and I've got a relative out in California, and she was telling me that she was involved with a ministry where if you didn't stand up every time the leader of that ministry came in, you'd get yelled at. You know, it's like every time you come in the room, you have to stand up. Well, you know, Jesus Christ came in the room. Did he make all his apostles stand up? No, what did he do? He washed their feet. You know, what a difference. What a difference, you know. See, that's the true leader. He earned their respect. He didn't demand it. He earned it. Anyway, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. See, in the Old Testament, law was there until Jesus Christ came and made faith available. But now that it's available, we're no longer under the law. I mean, it's still good to... I mean, I'm not telling you should go out and break all the Ten Commandments this morning. You know, we don't need to steal, kill, and destroy and all those other things, but we're not under the law. We don't have to do all those offerings. What is the sin offering and this offering and all that? I mean, it's like if you go out to lunch and eat a cheeseburger, you break the Old Testament law because they weren't allowed to eat milk and meat together. And cheeseburgers, cheese comes from milk, so you break the Old Testament law. But we're not under it. If you eat shrimp, you break the Old Testament law. But see, we're not restricted that way. See, God gave us the freedom so that we can go out and move the word better. We don't have to worry about, well, gee, am I doing this right, doing this right? But see, we can just go out in the love of God. And if you're walking in love, you're not going to be stealing. You're not going to be murdering. You're not going to be killing and all that other bad stuff. Here's another great quote. And this is from Living Victoriously 2 from Dr. Werwell. Whenever somebody says I have to do something, I have a problem. The only thing biblically I have to do is to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. And there was another great man of God back about in the 1500s, Martin Luther. And he was a Roman Catholic monk for a lot of years. And here's a quote from a letter that Martin Luther wrote to the Pope. And it's from the book The Church in History, 1996 by B.K. Kuyper, I think is how he pronounced the guy's last name. And this is a quote from that letter. It said, no matter how hard he, Martin Luther, tried, it never seemed to him that he had done enough to earn salvation. He wrote the Pope after his conversion and said, I often endured an agony so hellish and violent that if those spells had lasted 1 minute longer, I must have died then and there. See, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we suffer, we can't earn salvation. But you know what? It's stupid to try because it's already paid for. But see, that's what legalists try to get you to do, try to get you to earn what God's already freely given us. I mean, what a waste of time. It's like, what's that show that's real popular now? You answer the questions and you get to be a millionaire. Yeah. It's got that Regis guy or whatever it is on there. And you call lifelines. Jesus Christ. Oh, what's... I guess your lifeline would be Jesus Christ, you know. Oh, he paid the price. Okay, I'd already have it, you know. But see, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to do anything to earn. You don't even have to answer the questions. It's already ours. It's in the bank. You know, all we have to do is just say, give it to me. It's paid for. But see, Martin Luther finally figured out that he was reading along one day and he read in Romans chapter 1 that the just shall live by faith. He says, wait a minute, I've been doing all this stuff by works. The just shall live by faith. That changed his life, reading that one scripture. And it changed the course of Christianity, too. One man reading one verse of scripture, he finally realized legalism wouldn't work. Here's a quote from another book. Rightly Dividing the Word is the name of the book, published in 1920 by Clarence Larkin. And it says, the law demands holiness. Grace gives holiness. The law says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Grace says, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man who the Lord will not impute iniquity. The law declares that as many have sinned by the law shall be judged by the law. Grace declares that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and have passed from death unto life.